Well, hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Australian PI Podcast. This is podcast episode number 4, and it is long overdue. I was kindly reminded by one of our listeners the other day that that there are some people out there who are eagerly awaiting our podcasts. So I do apologise to that listener and to everyone else who's been listening to these podcasts over the last few months. We've had a really busy time here at Clerk Investigations, and unfortunately neglected to continue with our podcast for a while. So here I am again, and I'm back, and I'm hopefully going to be doing this on a more regular basis than I have been in the last few weeks. This podcast comes to you live from Clerk Investigations head office. And this time around, we're going to be talking about surveillance tips. We're still on our subject of tips and tricks for people wanting to get into the industry, people already working in the industry. So it was about time, I thought, that we talked about one of the most important areas of an investigator's life, and that is surveillance. So it's something that most investigators spend a lot of time doing, especially in the early days of their investigations career. So that's going to be on the agenda for today. And I thought I'd introduce a new section for this for these podcasts, where I talk about different apps that are out there that might be useful to PIs working in the field. The one I found for this week is the Receipt Bank app. We've started using it, and it is really super handy, although I'm still trying to work out a few quirks and things, which I'll talk about. But firstly, to describe what it is, have you ever ended up with a lot of receipts for expenses flying around here, there, and everywhere, and you try your best to file them and keep them all in order, but you know, it's an ongoing hassle and a big problem for some people. Not only is it a problem, it's also a pain, because the stupid receipts that a lot of retailers and a lot of people give you are those ones that actually fade over time. I'm sure everyone knows what I'm talking about. After a few months, particularly if they're left out in the light, they tend to lose all of the data that's printed on them, rendering them completely useless to you for taxation purposes. So Receipt Bank, the lovely people at Receipt Bank have come up with this handy little app that's going to hopefully solve that problem for people. It's an iPhone app. I'm not sure if it works on Android phones. I'm sure it probably does, but I haven't investigated to find that out. So any Android phone users may need to have a look themselves to see whether Receipt Bank will work for them. But basically what it is, it's an app that goes on your iPhone, and every time you have an expense receipt, you just activate the app, you just tap on it, and it brings up a screen that allows you then to photograph the receipt. So you then photograph the receipt and click submit, and it makes this cool little sound that sounds like someone scrunching up a piece of paper. And that means that the receipt has been submitted to your Receipt Bank account. Excuse me. I just had a biscuit. So that receipt is now stored on your Receipt Bank account, and you can link it to your accounting software. We have ours linked to our accounting software, which means that every time that transaction comes up in our bank feed on the accounting software, it also has the photograph of the receipt attached to it. So if ever the tax man comes knocking and he wants to audit us, all our receipts will be stored online in a cloud in a nice safe place, hopefully, so that we can prove that all our expenses are legit. So no more holding on to paper receipts. That's a thing of the past. That's just so last century. now we're up with the times using Receipt Bank. So definitely a very handy little app for anybody who has an iPhone. And as I say, Android users, I'm sure it's if it isn't useful for Androids at this point in time, maybe the developers will be working on that very soon. I do not know, but it's definitely worth checking out. Okay, well, on to surveillance tips. Now, surveillance is a kind of a big subject, so I'm just going to limit today's podcast to mobile surveillance, being in a car. Surveillance being the act of following and documenting somebody's movements and behaviours. So you're in your car, okay? You've picked up a surveillance job. There's a few things that you need for your mobile surveillance job. These are the sort of the essentials. I've probably missed a few things, and I'm sure listeners out there who are au fait with mobile surveillance may be able to point out a few additional things that may be needed. But these are your basics in terms of equipment for mobile surveillance in a car. You need your camera, of course. A PI without a camera is a pretty useless PI. So make sure you have a really good camera with good zoom. I think I've spoken about cameras a little bit in previous podcasts, so refer to those if you want more information about cameras. I'm probably going to do a podcast just on cameras at some stage, but at this stage, I'll suffice to say that it needs to have good zoom, because quite often you're going to be filming from quite a distance, so you need to have one that has good zoom capabilities. You need a hidden camera. So you need a small hidden camera, like a keychain camera or something similar, because you never know when your subject is going to get out of their car, go into a shopping center or some other place where you can't follow in your vehicle. You need to be able to quickly activate your hidden camera and convert your surveillance to a foot follow. You need a tripod. Now, a lot of people say, what? I'm in a car. Why do I need a tripod? You don't need a tripod, but it's certainly a very helpful little piece of equipment for a number of reasons. Firstly, leaning your camera on the steering wheel to try and get a steady shot when you're on full zoom is problematic, because you stand out a lot more. With a tripod, you could be sitting in the back seat of the car, for instance, and filming something in a much more professional and steady way. I like the you can get lots of different types of small lightweight tripods, but I prefer what they call a monopod, which is just one, it's like a stick basically. It's just one long sort of tubular shaped tripod, and it doesn't require you to fiddle around, you know, pulling legs out and trying to find a flat surface to position it on. A monopod, you can position it, you know, in any number of places and still keep reasonably steady. It's not as steady as a tripod as such, but it's certainly a lot handier when you're trying to maneuver around in a car in a limited space. Make sure you have spare batteries for everything. Spare batteries for your cameras is just so important, because you know, you don't want to have to explain to your employer why you didn't get the shot, being that you ran out of battery. That's just a really unprofessional look, and not something that people will wash with any employer. So make sure you have plenty of spare batteries for all your electronic equipment. I mean, a lot of stuff runs off the car battery anyway, runs, you know, you can plug it into your cigarette lighter. But, you know, independently functioning stuff needs spare batteries. You, of course, need all of your battery chargers as well. So anything that runs off 12 volt that you can charge in the car, bring that with you. Make sure that you have 12 volt chargers for everything if you can, because you are going to need it if you're on long periods of surveillance. Batteries don't tend to last as long as you need them to on a lot of jobs. So having that ability to use the car battery to charge your equipment is really important. So you can pretty much get 12-volt chargers for everything. I mean, we have a 12-volt charger for our laptop and everything that we use during surveillance. binoculars. Get yourself a good set of binoculars. It's always handy to have them, just to be able to see further afield than via your camera. Most binoculars are, well, a decent set of binoculars will get you a lot further vision-wise than a camera. And it's always good to be able to have one of those, a pair of binoculars on hand in your vehicle. Now, of course, if you're going on surveillance for a decent amount of time, you need food and drink. I mean, to some degree, you need to keep your liquid consumption to a minimum, just because you don't want to be needing to go to the bathroom too often when you're on surveillance, particularly if you're on surveillance by yourself. It's Murphy's Law that toilet break you take is going to be when your subject will move after not having moved all day. So you just need to take old Murphy's Law into account and try to limit your toilet breaks to a minimum, if at all. But you've also got to balance that with needing to stay hydrated, particularly if you're in hot weather. You're sitting in a car in the heat. You need to make sure that you're not getting dehydrated. Take plenty of food and try to make it healthy. You know, I mean, one of the traps that a lot of PIs fall into is that they just take easy to carry snacks. They'll stop at the service station on the way to the surveillance point and pick up a packet of chips and some chocolate bars and whatever they can just grab. And that's all well and good, but if you're doing surveillance on a regular basis, you start to look more like Jabba the Hutt than a nice, slim PI. So just keep that in mind. And try to be organised and maybe prepare some food the night before, something that's going to last in an esky all day. Salads are always good. Take a change of clothing. That's really important. Firstly, because of change of temperature, if you're starting surveillance early in the morning when it's cool, you know that you're going to have to start peeling off layers, you know, towards lunchtime when it starts to heat up. And then you've got to put them all back on again towards the evening. So make sure you've got, you know, the ability to cool off when you need to, and the ability to warm up when you need to as well. Changing clothes also serves another purpose, and that is that if the subject has seen you for various reasons, you may be following them on foot. They may have noticed you, which is unavoidable at times. They may not know that you're a PI following them, but they've certainly laid eyes on you as someone in the crowd. It's nice to be able to change your look a little bit so that they're not likely to go, "Oh, hey, haven't I seen that person with a red cap before? They look really familiar." So changing your appearance, even just by taking a hat on, putting a hat on, taking it off, changing your shirt, whatever, you know, to a different coloured shirt, just those minor adjustments can be the difference between somebody noticing you and noticing that you're following them and not noticing you and just thinking that you're a member of the crowd and forgetting you. So change of clothes is good. Window shades can be handy. If you haven't got a surveillance car with a tint, having some window shades up isn't a bad idea. You can still film through some window shades, so always check that, you know, it doesn't impede your ability to film and gather the evidence that you're required to gather. But it can certainly reduce a person outside the car's ability to see inside the car and see that there's a person sitting inside the car, and that becomes sort of more important when we get to the subject, which I'll get to soon, about nosy neighbours, etc. I know I keep going on about this, and I think I've mentioned this in every podcast so far. Mosquito repellent, especially in Australia. I don't know too many parts of Australia that aren't afflicted with thriving colonies of mosquitoes wherever you go. So, it's definitely well worth having a can of that sitting in your glove box, just for those sorts of occasions. You can't always sit there with the windows up. You know, it's sometimes it's just too hot to sit in the car with the windows up. You can't sit there with the engine running and the air conditioner on for hours on end. That's just not viable. So, you know, protecting yourself against the elements and against nature is always a good idea. So having some Mozzie repellent and some sunscreen in the car, the amount of times that I've been sunburnt on my arms and legs from sitting in a car where the sun's been blazing through the window for hours on end. So, you know, don't think that just because you're in a car doing surveillance that you're protected from the sun, because quite often you are not for large chunks of the day, unless you're lucky enough to be able to find a nice shady tree. But you don't always get to choose where you do surveillance from, so it's best to have those sorts of things. Notebook, pens, voice recorders, all of those things for recording your notes throughout the day of things that happen. Those notes are going to be coming in very handy when you get to the end of the day and you need to write your report. So, you know, make sure you're taking good notes, and you can do that, you know, the old-fashioned way with a notebook and pen. Or you can have your little voice recorder there ready to take voice notes, whatever suits you. But, you know, just make sure that you note down the time on all of your entries. You need, you know, spare tire. I mean, this goes without saying. You've got to have a vehicle that is in good order. And I'll talk about that more when I talk about the preparation for surveillance. But, you know, making sure you have things like a spare tire. A lot of people go to change their tire and find out that, oh, hang on, that's the tire that got flat last time and I've never bothered to go and get it fixed. Not a good look, you know, getting a flat tire on the job and not being able to change the tire and get going again. So just things like that. You know, make sure you've got a jack, maybe a set of jumper leads, I don't know. But just have a think about those times when the unexpected might happen and your car, you know, there's issues with your car. Okay, so preparation for going on mobile surveillance. The night before your mobile surveillance job, you need to make sure all your batteries are charged, of course, and all your spare batteries are charged. Remember that batteries lose charge over time, so you need to make sure that all of the batteries that you haven't used for a while are fully charged. You need to make sure you've got plenty of data storage space. Okay, so if you're you know, we're all recording on digital these days, so make sure all of your SD cards are you know, have plenty of data space. So clear off any old stuff that you don't need anymore, and format your discs and get them ready to go, so that you've got no reason to run out of data space throughout the day. You don't know how long you're going to be filming for, so you just need to make sure you've got plenty of space to do that. The worst thing is running out of space on your camera, on your card, you know, in the middle of a job when it's all happening and you're getting exciting evidence. You need to make sure that you have, you know, all your windscreens of your car are cleaned. Okay, it's really unprofessional to have bugs squashed all over your screen and impeding the vision that you're getting. So, you know, make sure that your windscreens on the back and the front and the sides are all nice and clean. A good idea is to have some anti-fog spray, and you can get spray for salt spray as well. And that was a lesson that I learnt on surveillance when I was doing surveillance by the sea one night, and there was a sea breeze blowing in and my windscreen got completely fogged to the point where I couldn't see out of it, and it was salt. So I did some research on this and discovered that you can actually get a special spray to prevent that from happening. So I haven't actually gone ahead and done that because I need to be more organized. But yeah, apparently you can get that. So yeah, I mean, if you're doing any sort of surveillance in a seaside area, particularly at night, you might find that that's a big issue for you. So be prepared for that. Okay, yeah. Yep. So Google Maps, make sure that you have a look at Google Maps before you go and to where you've got to go, just to get an idea of the lay of the land where you're going. You need to look at all of the subjects, possible entries and exits from that particular point of surveillance that you're going to be starting at, so that you don't miss them. You need to be able to sit in a spot that's going to catch them no matter which way they leave. Now, that's not always possible because, you know, in a lot of places there are 3, 4, 5 ways to get out of a particular, area onto the major arterial roads. So it's not always possible to sit in a spot where you're going to catch them no matter which way they go. But that's when you need to start recommending to whoever's controlling the job that perhaps they need to put more cars on the job. So you can only do what you can do. As a solo investigator, you can only cover so many entries and exits. But certainly have a look on Google Maps. It's obviously Google Maps is a few years behind, so it's not going to tell you everything that you need to know about an area, particularly if it's a newish sort of area. There may be new streets, there may be more housing, there may be, you know, there's a lot of changes that can happen over a few years. So, you know, ideally what you need to do is turn up a little bit earlier and just scout the area to physically drive around and see what's about. Don't just rely on Google Maps, but Google Maps is a good way to sort of get a mental picture of the area before you go. It's a good idea to research the subject, if you can, the subject of your surveillance. Know as much as you can about that person, and that way you can quite more accurately predict, where they might go, how they might drive. We always ask our clients if they know what the person what the person's driving style is like. Are they a cautious driver or are they a crazy driver? Excuse me. Those things are kind of important to know so that you can prepare yourself for what you're in for when you're following people, and you can adjust your style accordingly. So knowing a bit about your subject is quite a good idea. Of course, you may not always get that information. It may not always be possible. So, but do your best. Okay, once you're on location, now, this is where a bit of finesse and a bit of experience comes into things, because, I guess you get a bit of a sixth sense about certain situations, and you certainly build up, you build up certain skills that allow you to decide how you're going to approach surveillance. My tactic is always to go, using that phrase, softly, softly, catchy monkey. I like to start off in a cautious manner. So starting off further away from the surveillance location than I might otherwise be. If you're doing surveillance over a few days, it's not a good idea to get busted on the first day. So start off further away from your surveillance point, and then as time goes on and towards the end of the job, you can get in closer and closer and take more and more risks, because it doesn't matter so much, particularly if you've already got a lot of evidence, or your deadline for getting the job completed is running out and you need to get that evidence. You tend to become more desperate and you tend to take more risks. And I'm not talking about risks with your safety. That's something that I can't stress strongly enough, is that no job is worth compromising your personal safety over. Okay, so, and it's not worth getting arrested over either, for trespassing and whatever. You may be desperate to get results for your client or for your employer, but it's not worth risking your safety over. So, but what I mean about taking more risks is getting closer and closer to the subject. Obviously, the closer you can be to the subject, to the subject's home, to the subject's workplace, or wherever the subject is at that particular point in time, the greater your chance of getting the evidence you need. But also, equally so, you increase the chance of the subject making you out and your cover being blown and needing to put another agent on the job. So you need to, take all of those things into consideration. But I suggest starting off cautiously to begin with and getting closer to the subject towards the end. I hope that makes sense. Residential areas are tricky. And Neighbourhood Watch is out in force these days, I've noticed. People are really observant of who is in their neighbourhood. If it's a car they don't recognise or a person they don't recognise, they are watching you. So you need to keep that into account. You know, doing surveillance on the same street as your subject is not necessarily a good idea. Chances are they know most of the people on the street. Not necessarily by name, but certainly they may be on speaking terms with those people. We had a case recently that was, not so recently now, actually. It was a good year ago now, but we were conducting surveillance on a street that had about 150 houses. And one particular neighbour who we were actually quite close to the property. We were about, 5 or 6 houses away from the property that we were watching. And one of the neighbours came out and was sort of showing a bit of interest in us. And he eventually came over on about day 3. He came over to the car and asked us what we were doing there. And of course, we had a policy at the time of being honest about who we were. So we said that we were investigators and we were conducting surveillance on a person who lived in the area. He, for whatever reason, but he continued to be very interested in us to the point where he went and spoke to just about everybody on the street, or at least everybody in the vicinity of our car, which included the subject, and said, "There are investigators on the street. Do you know anything about why they might be here?" So that caused a lot of problems for us because the subject knew they were doing the wrong thing. It was a fraudulent work cover case, and it sent them to ground and caused a lot of problems for us in terms of getting the evidence we needed. So it was, even though the subject was never really knew for sure that it was that we were there for them, they certainly suspected strongly that we were, because they knew they were doing the wrong thing already. So that was a good, cautionary tale. Trying to stay certainly out of this street, really trying to deflect anybody that comes and asks you, who you are. It's very difficult. Different PIs have different ideas on how it should be handled when you get nosy neighbours knocking on your windows asking who you are. I mean, they have a right to know what you're doing in their neighbourhood. I tend to think that, of course you can tell them to mind their own business and leave you alone, but you're more likely to have the police turning up next to have a chat to you, which is obviously going to attract more attention to you. So you want to try and avoid that. Some PIs suggest that you come up with a pretense that you're conducting a traffic survey, that you're doing a university study on, flora and fauna in the area. I mean, there's any number of pretenses that you can come up with to explain why you're there. But it's not always possible to do that, and most people are savvy enough to see right through that. So, it's up to you how you handle it, but just be prepared for it. Know what you're going to say when you do get approached by nosy neighbours, and try and stay out of the street if you can. It's not always possible, and every situation is different. But if you can be off down a side street somewhere, or, it really depends what you're trying to achieve, but just keeping that in mind is important. We had another job that I just recalled as well in a small town, and we were sitting outside a house watching a property some way down the hill, and a woman came out. She was shaking. She was very quite disturbed by our presence, and And it was because her daughter was being harassed by her ex-boyfriend, who had come round to the house a few times and threatened them and had damaged property. And she thought perhaps he had decided to send some friends round to harass them, and she thought that that's why we might have been there. She was very relieved when we explained that we were private investigators and we weren't interested in her at all. But then she proceeded to speak to us for probably the next 20 minutes, telling us all of her life's problems, and so it was rather distracting. So we it's difficult dealing with nosy neighbours. You will have to deal with them, and you'll have to deal with them on a regular basis. You'll also have to deal with the police turning up. People will call the police. They won't always approach you and ask you first. They'll just ask what you're doing. They'll just call the police. So be prepared to have the police turn up. In certain situations, we do notify the local police that we're going to be in the area. That way, when they do get phone calls, they know they'll still do a drive-by and check you out, suss you out, and run your number plates. But they won't stop and talk to you and draw a lot of attention to your vehicle. Private property is a no-no. Stay off private property. Any evidence gathered on private property is probably inadmissible anyway. So it's just too risky. If you have to go on private property to get what you need, and you can't get permission from the property owner, or it's too risky to ask the property owner because they might know the subject, then avoid it if you can, because it's really not a good idea. Changing cars, this is a good one. If you're doing surveillance over a long period of time, people are going to notice the same car, of course. People do. People are very observant in their own neighbourhoods especially. So, you may want to consider changing cars. Not always easy when you've only got one car at your disposal, but, there's always the option of hiring cars, and definitely it's not as expensive as it seems to hire a car, and you can certainly factor in that the price of the job. Making sure that you're just sort of changing position on a regular basis too. If you're in a car doing surveillance, just make sure you change position. You don't sit in the same place for hours on end. If you can find different vantage points, that's always a good thing. Conducting walk pasts, there's nothing wrong with getting out of your car and going for a walk past the subject's premises, just to get a bit more of an idea of the lay of the land there. Cruising past slowly in a car is a dead giveaway. So you usually have to maintain your speed as you travel past the property, so you don't get to take in as much detail about what's going on. So sometimes what I will do is park up and just go and do a walk past to the property a couple of times just to sort of suss it out a bit more and get a bit more detail, and you just look like a walker, and you can use your peripheral vision a lot too, so you're not staring directly at the property, but I found it's a kind of a handy thing to do when you first start your surveillance. So that's pretty much it. I've waffled on for way too long, and so I'm going to sign off shortly. But just letting you know that if you've got any feedback on anything that I've said today, if you want to contribute to the discussion, by all means, send us a message on Facebook. You can look for us on Facebook under Cloak Investigations. We're on Twitter. And you can also come to our website, which is all the W's, cloakinvestigations.com.au. So there's lots of ways to get in touch. Send us an email if you like to, admin@cloakinvestigations.com.au. Give us your feedback, tell us what you'd like to hear more of, and we'll try to oblige you. And as I say, we'll try to do these more often than we have been, because we realise that there are some people out there, and I'm quite flattered to say, are interested in these podcasts. So that's great. That's really good news for us. the next edition, I'll talk about foot surveillance and some tips and tricks for following somebody on foot. All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.